The American Homebrewers Association, which turns 40 this year, is offering a free book with every membership card purchase made during November and December. Head over to homebrewersassociation.org to see the free book options and learn more about the benefits of AHA membership. Spoiler, the books are awesome and the benefits are abundant. Head over to homebrewersassociation.org to see for yourself. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, November 29th, 2018. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Gary Glass, director of the American Homebrewers Association, joins us to talk about the 40th anniversary of the AHA. We'll also cover continuing legislative issues across the country about homebrewing and preview next year's HomebrewCon and the largest beer competition in the world. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows, our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, which I filled mine up. My latest logbook is full, so I posted a picture of that on the social media stuff, and I got a new one going. You can find other Basic Brewing gear, including our tie-dye silicone pint and our new shirt, which I'll talk about in just a minute. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook as well. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. If you do us a favor of rating us on iTunes and maybe leaving a nice comment, they say that that will help new listeners to find us. If you want to support us financially directly, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And thanks to everybody who is helping us out that way. If you go to Patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of the stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. And there's more stuff coming on there all the time. I posted a new video to the public on Monday of this week. It's another no-boil extract batch that uses a hop stand for bitterness and hop flavor and aroma. And it really was a delicious beer and a great one for family gatherings around the holidays. So that's one that you might want to check out. It doesn't take much time to brew. Everybody's busy around this time of year. So I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving for those who celebrated it this past week. We nearly had a Thanksgiving dinner disaster at my stepmother's house. She took the turkey out of the refrigerator first thing in the morning, and it was still frozen solid. It turns out that it takes more than just overnight in the fridge to thaw out a 16-pound bird. Who knew? But I said, we can salvage this. We can fix this. We can save this. I put a plastic tub in the kitchen sink, and I ran lukewarm water over the icy turkey, turning it occasionally and emptying out the tub as it filled up. And after about an hour and a half of doing this, the bird was thawed. And just to be safe, we let it cook in the oven in one of those roaster bags for a bit longer than recommended. But it turned out to be delicious and still juicy. I swear that the plastic bag is the way to go for turkeys. And I thoroughly, don't worry, I thoroughly cleaned the sink afterwards and everything around that might have gotten splashed. And I also used a bleach wipes to sanitize anything that might have gotten turkey juice on it. So nobody got sick. Everything's okay. And I also made a giblet gravy for the first time. And it turned out pretty darn good, I have to say. I flavored it with a little bit of muscadine wine that my stepmom had on hand. So might have been the IPA that I was having while I was cooking that inspired that. Speaking of potential disasters, I'm still getting letters coming in for our annual disaster show. As you probably know, every year Steve and I get together to read tales of homebrewing woe and sometimes redemption. We'll put together a little prize goodie bag for our favorite letters. And you can send those to james@basicbrewing.com. We're set to record the show on Monday, December 10th, so please get your submissions in to us before then. I already have a bunch. There are a couple of things happening to help those who have been affected by the tragic wildfires out in California. Sierra Nevada Brewing is brewing Resilience IPA to support the Sierra Nevada Camp Fire Relief Fund. Other commercial brewers are brewing that beer as well with the same goal in mind. And if you want to brew the beer as well in solidarity with those efforts, the AHA has posted that recipe at homebrewersassociation.org. So you can check that out. Also, our friends over at Brewlosophy have started a GoFundMe campaign to help the homebrewers of Paradise, California, in replacing their brewing equipment that was lost in the fire there. Their goal is $20,000, and you can find that campaign if you search for Brewlosophy on GoFundMe.com. So a couple of good efforts there helping the people in that area. I got an email from Holger Michaelis from Oakland, whom you've heard on this show before. We met Holger when he went to the HomebrewCon this last time in San Diego. Holger writes, after hearing Steve and me taste that hop sampler beer that was made with the Galaxy hops that may not have been in the best of shape, you know, that smelled kind of cheesy in the package. And Steve was wondering, Belgians use cheesy hops and the beers don't taste cheesy, so what's going up with that? So Holger says, I wanted to comment on your recent episode's reference to why aged hops don't contribute a weird or cheesy aroma. I happened to be reading, I'm going to take a stab at the pronunciation here, Jean Guinard's book, Lambic, part of the Old Classic Beer Styles series. This book is a bit dated, copyright 1990, but one passage in Chapter 4, The Lambic Brewing Process, states that, quote, the volatile acids responsible for that cheesy hop aroma are expelled during wort boiling, which is particularly long, and vigorous for lambic wort. Later, the book states that the wort is boiled for anywhere between 3.5 to 6 hours for lambics. So, appreciate that, Holger. Since that beer that I made was not boiled at all, it was just steeped, you know, in a hop stand for 30 minutes, maybe that's why the Galaxy hops tasted off in that beer, while beers that were brewed by other brewers in a more traditional way, Steve said, tasted better. So very interesting. I guess if you're going to do, you know, the no-boil technique, you make sure you use fresh, tasty hops. In the previous show, Nate from Maryland asked about using whiskey backset to brew beer. Backset is the leftover stuff from making whiskey, apparently. Chris, a listener, sent me a message on Facebook, and Chris says, on the topic of whiskey backset, I wouldn't recommend using very much of it in a mash, maybe just enough to adjust pH, but it wouldn't take much. Also, the flavor won't be very much like a beer, because the ingredients are different. Distiller's malt, or sometimes six row, is used because you need a higher diastatic power to convert the sugars in the corn, and corn makes up over 50% of the mash. Chris says, all of those differences are before it ever gets fermented or distilled. What's left afterwards doesn't resemble anything even close to beer. There's a very helpful Facebook group called Fermenters and Distillers that covers both topics. It would be an excellent place for your listener to start asking questions. Chris says, P.S., we need a distilling podcast. I did a very quick search, and there are podcasts out there about distilling, of course. Appreciate the information, Chris. I don't know anything about distilling myself, very little. My grandfather might have known because my wife recently, in searching on Ancestry, found a note that said his half-brother, my half-great-uncle, was the biggest bootlegger in Garland County, Arkansas during Prohibition. So there you go. I've said in the past that I thought Grandpa was arrested for brewing beer, but there may have been more stuff going on. Hey, holiday gatherings are coming up, and Poncho of Poncho's Brewing Lab Our sponsor says he's putting the 20-gallon water cooler on sale for $125 until the end of the year. And if you use the code BBR at PonchosBrewingLab.com, that's P-A-N-C-H-O-S BrewingLab.com, you'll get an additional 15% off. You've heard me talk about Poncho's Keg Cooler. It's the 20-gallon water cooler that you can get with a built-in tap that's designed to house a 5-gallon corny keg. But, you know, you can also use that cooler as a huge mash tun when you're not serving out of it. Poncho says he designed the keg cooler as an alternative to jockey boxes, which he didn't like working with. Poncho's keg coolers are great outside in the summer, and they're also just as great inside in the winter. Your beer keg stays cold in the cooler with ice in the warm rec room or hunting lodge or wherever you're having your holiday gathering. And Poncho's keg cooler now has a stainless steel retractable intertap faucet. And the Keg Cooler Pro comes with a Sankey tap, so the cooler can be used with a sextal or quarter barrel Sankey kegs in addition to homebrew cornies. And you can customize yours at PonchosBrewingLab.com. And don't forget about the $125 deal on the water cooler itself. And also don't forget to use the code BBR to save an additional 15% on PonchosBrewingLab.com. I posted a picture of a new shirt that we have in our BasicBrewingShop.com store a couple days ago. Got some good response from that. People like that shirt. It was designed by our friend and fellow homebrewer Casey Lohman, and it features a rainbow of beerish colors going from carboys to different styles of beer glasses. So it's very clever and eye-catching, and it's on the store now. And since there are more colors than our usual shirts, they are a couple of bucks more, but they're still cheap. My shirt guy says that I'm not selling my shirts at a high enough price, but I I'm passing the savings on to you. It is a cool shirt. So cool that maybe your significant other would wear it, so it might be a good stocking stuffer. Let's talk about our friends and sponsors, Desiree and Dave of High Gravity in Tulsa. I keep getting notes and tweets and such from those of you who are going electric and getting high gravity systems. Darren on Twitter says he's ordering the 3-vessel, 10-gallon Warthog Herms system, and he's so excited. Well, I bet. Darren says he's tired of being jealous of my system. Well, those days are over. It's my turn. I have the 10-gallon, 240-volt, single-vessel brew-in-a-bag system, and to tell the truth, I am happy with that system. It fits my style of brewing. But if you're like Darren and want something more elaborate, High Gravity has electric systems from 1, 2, or 3 vessels and 5 gallons up to 2 barrels. And they have a variety of Warthog controllers to fit your needs. And if you want to build your own system from the ground up, a Warthog controller can be a great addition. I'm so spoiled by mine. High Gravity takes the pain out of propane. Tell Santa you want something shiny under your tree and get a bigger tree to accommodate it. You know, it's going to take some room. Might want to take off some of those lower limbs. You can be like Darren and use the promo code EBC75BB. That's EBC75BB to save $75 off your electric brewing purchase at our friends, highgravitybrew.com. Okay, every now and then we check in with Gary Glass of the American Homebrewers Association to see what's new and to see what they're working on to support us and our hobby. Even after 40 years, there are still challenges that the AHA is helping to overcome. Gary Glass, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Hey, thanks to be with you, James.
It's always good to have you, and we got a special event coming up, a special anniversary coming up.
We do. We're coming up on the American Homebrewers Association's 40th anniversary, which happens to be December 7th.
Wow.
40 years from when Charlie Papazian and Charlie Matson founded the organization by publishing the first issue of Zymergy magazine.
Wow, that was 1978. Is my math right?
1978. Yes, and coincidentally, this was like immediately following the signing of the bill that legalized homebrewing federally, which that was in October of 1978.
Thanks.
Totally unrelated to the founding of the AHA, but
Huh?
a pretty cool coincidence.
Thanks to then President Jimmy Carter, right?
Well, I think Jimmy Carter gets way too much credit for this. Like, thank you, Jimmy, for signing that bill, but Senator Alan Cranston is really the major champion behind the bill. So it was actually the legalization came about because of this amendment that Senator Cranston added on to an omnibus transportation bill that was really mostly about trucks and buses. And I don't even I've done some research on an unrelated topic at the Carter Library, and I wish I was more involved with the AHA at that point to have thought to look into whether or not he even knew that there was this homebrew bill in that transportation bill.
Well, Carter was I imagine Carter was a teetotaler himself at the time, and probably still
He
is.
was his. It was, yeah, I would imagine so. But his brother had a brewing company. I
Oh,
think it
that's
was
right.
Billy's Beer or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure those cans are collector's items now,
Yeah.
along with JR Beer. Of course, I'm dating myself now. I was in eighth grade back in 1978, so tells you how old I am. I'm not asking how old you are, Gary.
I wasn't that far off.
So the AHA has come a long way in 40 years.
It has, yes. So, from the humble beginnings, we now have a membership of 45,000 worldwide. And we put on the world's largest beer competition, with over 8,000 entries in the National Homebrew Competition, the world's largest gathering of homebrewers is the Homebrew Con. We started from very humble beginnings. I think about, those early days, probably not a lot of people know that the American Home Brewers Association started the Great American Beer Festival. So
That's right, which
that was an entirely AHA project back in 1983.
and back then the Great American Beer Festival was a side project of the Homebrew Conference, right? Have I got that right?
I think that the GABF was separate, but the Homebrewers Conference did add on what eventually became the Craft Brewers Conference, which is kind of cool to think about because back then it was primarily homebrewers with a few professional brewers in the mix, and they started having professional brewer content, and then eventually split off the Craft Brewers Conference from the Homebrewers Conference. Now the Craft Brewers Conference has like 14,000 plus attendees. And the Homebrewers Conference is still pretty astounding at around, I think we had 3,200 attendees in Portland this year.
Yeah, I can't imagine 14,000 brewers getting together.
But it's really cool to think that like that event started with homebrewers, and the cultivation of the of craft brewing in the country in this country really came about because of homebrewers leading the way.
All those dreams beside the brew pot of selling your own beer, they're all coming true across the country. Now, also coming, you mentioned Portland. We celebrated Charlie Papazian in Portland. He came in on a cloud of foam with everybody chanting foam all around him as he floated in. And then he told his stories of the bygone days and such, and he's his days as the head of the AHA are drawing to a close.
Yes, he's exiting from the Brewers Association on January 23rd, which is his 70th birthday, and not coincidentally, that is Pi Day. PIE Pi. Charlie also is the founder of the American Pi Association or something like that. That he turned that over to others after having started it. But he's big into pie as well. And
Well, he's mighty fit for a man who likes pie and beer.
Yes, well, you know, everything in moderation, and you can stay healthy. Right? Yeah, he's doing astoundingly well for being approaching 70.
Yeah, well, congratulations to Charlie, and big thanks to Charlie for all the work over all these years, and creating, you know, not only this thriving hobby, but, you know, a thriving industry that springs forth from it.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't even begin to describe what an honor it has been to be working with him over the past 19 years. He's an extraordinary man, and getting to learn from his perspective on things and see his vision has been enlightening for me. So it's I'm excited for him to move on to this next phase, definitely sad to know he's not going to be in the office on a daily basis, but I'm sure he'll still be around.
Sure. And I'm sure that he's leaving a solid organization with the AHA and the Brewers Association, and that the work will continue.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, he's been in the role of past president since 2016, and we're operating under very able leadership with our CEO and president, Bob Pease, who has been with the association for, I think, 25 years now.
Mm. So, wow. And you've been with the association for almost half of the life of it.
Yeah, I know. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that, but yeah, so going on 19 years in January.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I work very hard to not get fired, because I love my job.
Now, you mentioned Zymergy magazine. It's going through some changes.
Right. Yeah. So the November-December issue, which we just recently published, we completely did a redesign on it. Not the content is going to be very much familiar to regular readers of Zymergy, but gave it a visual uplift, made it a little bit more modern, but keeping that fun feel to the magazine. We're excited to debut this new look, and so hopefully our readers like what they see.
And it's got an online component as well. So what's the balance? I mean, how many people read it in paper, and how many people or what's the percentage, or do you have a feel of that?
We have a digital-only membership, so all members of the AHA get access to the online version. So we have we publish it both online as well as in an app, and so all members get access to that, whether or not they have the printed magazine. But we have about 25% of our membership that just does the digital version of membership.
People still like
paper. But that's been growing steadily.
Yeah, people say
I definitely prefer reading in paper.
There's something about paper. I dug into I was researching a show recently, and I did some online searching, on one message board somewhere there was a reference to an article in a 2012 issue of Zymergy, and so I couldn't find that online, but I did find the magazine in a box. And I was able to, pull up open it up and read the article right there. So, my hoarding does come in handy, regardless of what my wife says. I still like paper as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you had difficulty finding what you were looking for, but I personally use that's what I use the digital version for, is if I'm searching for something and, having been around for so many different issues, I'll remember it was like 5 years ago we published something, so I'll do a search and then find out it was 10 years ago.
Familiar.
All members also get access to that digital archive, so you get all the magazines going back to our January 2000 issue of the magazine going forward. It's just from the moment you join, you have that that instant access to all those resources.
I'm sure it's just user error on my account that I couldn't find the article online. That's why I have sons now who can help me with computer stuff. I used to know all that stuff, but it's getting a little more shaky. My computer knowledge every day is it slips away a little bit more. Speaking of memberships and people joining the AHA, you get Zymergy as a part of being a member of the AHA. You're offering a special deal through people that click on the link on basicbrewing.com until the end of the year, right?
Yeah, that's right. Through the end of December, we're offering anybody who joins the AHA using that link to for AHA membership on basicbrewingradio.com a couple of books that we will send you for joining. Brewing Classic Styles by John Palmer and Jamil Zanishev, and Wild Brews by Jeff Sparrow.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff.
Well, there's a lot to remember nowadays. Well, excellent. I appreciate the opportunity to offer that to folks, and I hope that they'll take advantage of that. And December is a good time to buy gift memberships as well.
That's right. You can get it as a gift membership or just as a membership for yourself. It's also a way of supporting both the American Home Brewers Association and Basic Brewing Radio.
So, there you go.
It's a good thing to do. You all who are listening should do it.
Hey, this is James from the future. In order to take advantage of the offer that Gary is talking about and get your two free books, go to the link on basicbrewing.com, click on that AHA ad, and then enter in basicbrew18 as the promo code. Basicbrew18. Now back to the past. Now, we're already looking forward to HomebrewCon next June in Providence, Rhode Island, right? And you're calling for presentations or submissions for presentations?
Right. Yep. So homebrewcon.org. We've got our call for proposals out. So anybody who's interested on presenting on a homebrew related topic, you can submit your proposals through that homebrewcon.org website. We're taking proposals. I believe it's up through December 17th. We welcome any and all proposals, and then all the speakers for the conference get their conference registration comped.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, that's a pretty good incentive. And how many proposals or how many presentations are you looking to fill?
We'll probably end up with around 60 presentations. That's where we've been at the last couple of years. The more proposals that we have, the better selection we have to offer the attendees.
Yeah, and I've always kind of wanted to go to Rhode Island ever since it was the first piece to be lost in my map of the United States puzzle. Talk about the Providence and what kind of a beer town it is.
It's got a good beer scene. Obviously it's a smaller town than some of the others, and it's not quite Portland yet. But there are a number of small breweries in the area. One that's kind of a fairly large brewery that's opened up is Island Brewers Guild is just a little ways from outside of Providence. Where the convention center is in downtown Providence, there's a brew pub literally two blocks away, which has been around for a long time, Trinity Brewing. This really cool brew pub, making great beers, good food. In fact, one of the really great things about Providence is that it is a great culinary city. It's home to Johnson & Wales University, which is focused on culinary education. And so the downtown area is just full of locally owned restaurants that are making just fantastic food, and obviously with Providence, really great city for seafood. But Providence is really easy access to much of the rest of New England. So, you know, Boston is only an hour away by train on from Providence. So, easy to get to all the breweries that are in the Boston area, and then, you know, for people coming into town, you know, pretty easy to get to via train from obviously either Boston or from New York.
Let's switch to legislation. Since we've got homebrewing legal in all 50 states, all of our legislation worries in dealing with homebrew are over, right?
Oh, I wish that were true. But, you know, I guess it is one reason why people do support the American Home Brewers Association is because the fight is not over. You know, this past year we've been dealing with issues in North Carolina and Nevada, Virginia, Hawaii, but you know, North Carolina's probably been the bigger issue in terms of progress that we've made. They passed a homebrew law in 2017, last year, and then alcohol beverage control had to create rules to enforce that law, and apparently there were some contradictions from what was in the law and what's in other parts of the alcohol code, which is very common. Alcohol codes are extremely complicated, and so a lot of things that aren't specifically aimed at homebrewers will be applied to homebrewing. So that's kind of some of the issues that we've been dealing with, and but thankfully we were able to mobilize a lot of homebrewers in the state to petition the alcohol beverage control to make some adjustments to those rules. And so the latest that we saw, which we weren't actually expecting, it didn't sound like they were going to waver at all, was that they loosened up some of the rules for things like transporting homebrew to homebrew competitions and things like that, that we thought were going to be very, very restrictive and are hopefully going to be a little less restrictive than we were anticipating. And so we may or may not want to go ahead, depending on what the brewers in the state want to do, but may not have to pursue another bill, which is kind of, you know, just a week or so ago, I was thinking we were for sure going to be looking at another homebrew bill in North Carolina. And then with Nevada, some of the homebrewers have been, particularly homebrew clubs that are participating in events that are taking place on licensed premises, have been having some negative interactions with the state's health department. The health department is claiming that any alcohol served on licensed premises must come from facilities that are subject to health department regulation, and obviously that is not the case for somebody making beer at home. So mm-hmm. we're working with a homebrewer in Nevada who happens to be a lawyer. The beautiful things about homebrewing is there's got all kinds of people involved in homebrewing, and he's helping to write a bill that hopefully we will get introduced to address that issue.
And I guess the biggest impact may be on holding competitions in Nevada?
Holding competitions is one of the issues. Is most competitions are held at breweries or, you know, licensed facilities like restaurants and bars that where homebrew clubs meet. And certainly in terms of dropping off alcohol, unless it's competitions at people's homes is not very typical, and most businesses where you would have a competition would be licensed. So that's definitely been an issue.
Well, good luck with all that, and it never ends. It's like brush fires coming up. Just when you think everything is nailed down, things pop up.
Yeah. So, as you said, like it's been 5 years since the last two states finally legalized homebrewing, but that certainly hasn't changed much for us. In fact, I would say that we are probably more involved on legal issues than ever before, which, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think would be the case. But I think that's good evidence of why it's so important to have a national association for homebrewers, so that, you know, we can work with homebrewers in every state and give advice on how to approach getting laws introduced and changing regulation.
Wow. Well, keep up the good work in that area.
Yeah.
and speaking of competitions, the national homebrew competition is coming up. It doesn't seem like it should be this close, but the deadline is coming up.
Yeah. So we do open enrollment for people looking to enter the competition. The national homebrew competition is coming up January 2nd. We open that up, and that goes through the January 29th. We're adding another judge center this year, so we've got a new judge center that's going to be in Boston, and we've moved one of our judge centers as well. We had so we'll have 13 total next year, increasing our total number of entries to close to 10,000 entries. So continues to be the world's largest beer competition. But our Texas Judge Center is the organizers that have been working on that for many years decided they didn't want to do it again in 2019. So we looked for we were hoping to find someone else in Texas or even in the other states in the South, but legal issues in the South make it harder to hold competitions, believe it or not.
Hmm.
So it's looking like we'll probably have that judge center moving over to Cleveland, which is obviously nowhere near Texas, but that's we do have very high demand in that part of the country, from the Midwest east to the Northeast. Is where we see the most interest in entering the competition.
Wow. 10,000 entrants.
Yeah, 10,000 entries.
Or entries.
Probably more like 4,000 entrants, but yeah, it really is an astounding number, and it's pretty awesome to be able to claim that homebrewers run the world's largest beer competition.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Man, I can't wrap my head around it. That's a lot of beer.
Yeah, well, I'm very grateful for our competition coordinator, John Moorhead. He is extremely able and capable of dealing with all the details that go into such a large competition, and a competition that's spread across 13 different judge centers, and then everything, all the winners from the first round going on to the final round. He also does our government affairs work, believe it or not. So that we are very grateful to have John on board with the AHA.
he's the man that has the little facial tic when you see him in the hallway. That would. Depending on the time of year.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to know how many gallons of beer are sent in just to this competition. You know, if you multiply, 10,000 entries times however many bottles, and then, how many barrels of beer are being, produced and consumed just for this competition. I'm sure they'd be mind-boggling.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're not asking me to do that math on the fly.
No.
We do. John would know better than I would. I think we do have two bottle entry for the first round, and then three bottles for the final round.
Yeah, and so they whittle down, but the number of entrants, but still, that's a lot of beer.
Yeah, it's a lot of beer.
Probably a lot of hazy beer this year or next year.
That's a pretty good bet, I'd say. Believe it or not, I was just judging a competition in Santiago, Chile. New England IPAs were everywhere. All the craft beer bars, like there was New England IPAs, there was brewed IPAs. Like I saw my first commercial example of a brewed IPA just this year, and like it's already down to like the furthest stretches in the southern hemisphere. <It's> crazy.
Well, that's awesome. It's all a testament to the innovation of home brewers and the internet, I guess.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's astounding how quickly things move, and it's a tribute to the just how interconnected the brewing community is, not just within the United States but worldwide.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, excellent. Gary, anything else for the cause?
Reiterate, hey, join the AHA. You can renew your membership to the AHA through that Basic Brewing Radio link as well. Get a couple of books, and support two great organizations.
There you go. All right. Well, as usual, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Gary, and thank you once again for your support of this podcast. You guys have been very supportive over the you guys have been helpful ever since the beginning. So, I'm very grateful.
Well, happy to do it, and I think it's I love what you're doing, and we have kind of mutual goals of helping homebrewers make better beer. So, absolutely happy to do it.
Awesome. Thanks, Gary.
Hey, thank you, James.
Well, thanks again to Gary. Once again, to get the offer of two free books, click on the AHA ad, the AHA. It's only three letters, AHA. Add on the right side of basicbrewing.com and use the promo code BASICBREW18. That's all one word. And I believe that's good until the end of the year. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form at basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. And don't forget your disaster stories before the 10th, before December 10th. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies are waiting for you there. Check out that at patreon.com/basicbrewing. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering, Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. Get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener with any DVD combo, and you can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store, too, as well as our free, not our free, our new... Don't want to mix those up. Our new shirt, our new Rainbow Brewing shirt, Brewing Rainbow, as well as our logbooks, where you can track and log up to 50 batches of beer. Check all that out at basicbrewingshop.com. And our silicone pints are still around, too. It's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer, production help for Basic Brewing Radio, and our website's provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.